Welcome back, everybody. Welcome to Passions Podcast, the podcast where we talk about the soap opera Passions. I am your regular host, Latara, back again with my niece, Lanaya.
Hi, everybody.
Thank you, Naya, for coming back to
no
see
problem.
Us.
No problem. This is such a great podcast. I love it.
Oh, you really think it's great? You're not just saying that because I like feed you and clothe you.
No. Saying that because of that. I actually love this podcast and I love talking about this crazy show.
Okay, well, good. So unfortunately this week was like such a snooze. I'm sorry, you got such a snooze of a week. I only had like 4 pages of notes and you only had what, like 3?
Yeah, I had like 3 pages. There's not much going on.
It was like insufferable. It was an insufferable amount of recap this week. So honestly, this is probably gonna be a short episode. But I will rant nonetheless.
Yes.
Okay. I still got things to say.
There's rant material here.
Yeah. Yeah. Trust, we still got things to say. So we watched episodes 481 through 485 this week. But before we get into that, I want to start the show a little differently. I'm going to start doing my Patreon shout outs at the top of the show now, just so I never forget again. So I want to say thank you to all my patrons over on Patreon. Thank you to Munashe, Marcus, Erica, Bree Lynn, Lisa, Sid, Randall, Ashley, Hannah, Camelia, Amanda, Samantha, Eric, Jamie, Fantasia, Sean, S, Larissa, Maria, George Lopez, Fitzgerald, Lisa, and Jessica Jean, who, by the way, has a gorgeous Instagram page. I think it's at Fair Folk Trade, FairFolkTrade. And I just was checking it out this week, and she has beautiful pictures of like antiques and things that she sells. So I think y'all should go check it out.
Definitely.
It was like really cool. The other thing is, if you also would like to become a patron, please do. It's patreon.com/passionspodcast. Sign up for any tier that seems agreeable to you. However, if you do want to support the podcast, but you don't want to commit to making a monthly contribution, you can also check out our tip jar. We've got a tip jar now.
Yes, we're taking tips, y'all.
Listen, I'm getting like so... What's the word? I'm becoming more and more like tech savvy. Like I don't know, online, but not chronically. Have you heard people talk about
yes,
being chronically
I've
online?
Heard of that, and you are not that.
I'm not chronically online, but I have a tip jar. Link is going to be in the description. It's also on our link tree for on all of our pages. So if you feel like sending a dollar or two my way, I won't turn it down.
Yeah.
Okay. So with that, going on with the show.
Here we go, y'all.
Oh, yeah. Settle in. Let's
settle in for a long winter's nap.
Just settle. Yeah. For hibernation. No, we're not boring. The show was, though. God.
Oh.
What a slog.
What a nothing burger.
What a slog it was this week. Oh, my gosh. So let's pick up with Shuise. Let's start there. Okay. We're going to start and end there this week. So, remember at the end of last week's episodes, Julian and Rebecca were trying to get Luis and Sheridan to go to this engagement party that they wanted to throw for them. And listen to this timeline that I realized was the timeline today on these episodes. Here's the timeline. Hell House happens last night.
I still don't believe that. That's crazy.
Yeah. Hell House happened last night. This morning, Luis proposed to Sheridan, and then now this evening they're gonna have their engagement party. What kind of timeline is that? What, that's not enough time to invite people and get people to get stuff together? No wonder everybody's looking a mess. We'll get to that, but
these looks they were turning some looks.
They were turning something. I wouldn't necessarily call it a look. I guess it is a look. There's a definite point of view.
Yeah,
an ugly one.
It is the outfit ever.
Yeah. So anyway, Luis and Sheridan have turned down the invitation to their own engagement party. That's where we pick up this week. So he and Sheridan are having this conversation inside of the cottage, where I thought that these two were just were absolutely on the same page. Like, I thought Sheridan had come to her senses last week. It seemed like she had come to her senses last week. But Luis is like all offended that Julian would even think that they would set foot into a party that he threw for them. And Sheridan is like, is it really that crazy that my family might actually love me? Girl, yes. Yes, it is, my love.
And it's so disappointing because you said like she had grown as a character. Like you were really like disappointed in her with this.
I was very disappointed in her. And me and Laura talked about this last week and like the growth that she had made and the strides that she had made. And now she's just back to like begging for crumbs from her terrible brother and her terrible father. And I hate it. But yeah, she's like being super annoying, saying, you know, you really don't think there's any way that they've had a change of heart. And she says, we could just at least think about it before we just say no flat out. Girl, you already said no flat out. Y'all already said no.
Just stand your ground, girl.
Well, Luis does stand his ground. Luis does stand his ground. And he says, have you ever felt loved by your family?
That's so depressing.
Ugh. I do feel bad for Sheridan. Like it's so messed up. He says, have you ever felt loved by your family? And she says, she doesn't even say no. She says, well, maybe things have changed. Maybe things have changed. She thinks maybe since they lost Ethan that they want to cling tighter to their family. And okay, girl. So Luis puts his foot down. He's like, there's no way we're going. He's like, you're going to be my wife. And part of that means me protecting you. And I have to protect you in this moment. I have to put my foot down. And normally I don't like this kind of rhetoric. Like the man has to protect the woman and this and that. But he was 100% right in this. And there are times where you have to protect your loved one from themselves.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was about to say. He needs to save her from herself because she is making a bad decision right here.
Yeah. He's like, we're not going to the party. That's that. And then Sheridan talks about how she felt so neglected as a child, how she was so abandoned. And she just had a hope that her dad had finally changed, and she was hoping that there was a chance that he changed. And Luis and like she talks about basically about her strained relationship specifically with her father, you know. And Luis, this kind of softens him a bit because we all know Luis grew up without his father in the picture for the most part, having disappeared. Even though we believe that Julian Alistair had something to do with that. So it would seem that would only make things make him more or make him less amenable to the idea of going to this party.
Yeah.
But the contrary happens. And he's like, you know, I know how it feels to feel abandoned by your father. I know how it feels to feel alone. And if I could just have, you know, a day back with my father, I would take it, you know. But your dad was like a good dad to you.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, you can't really compare the two, you know? Like, yeah. It's not a one-to-one.
Yeah. So he relents. He says, we can go to the party. She's overjoyed, which I thought we were in a place with Sheridan where she was like trepidatious about the whole thing, but she seems to have leaned fully into the lie and has decided to just like believe the lie contrary to all of her past experiences with these people.
I just don't understand it. It's like taking one step forward and 5 million steps backwards, you know? It's
yeah, it really is. So, I don't know, whatever. Outside, Julian is having a conversation on the phone with Alistair, wherein these two conversations are happening at the same time. Sheridan is talking about maybe they've changed, they love me, they want the best for me, they want us to be together. And outside, simultaneously, Julian is having a conversation with Alistair where he's trying to convince Alistair not to murder Sheridan, or not to make him murder Sheridan.
he wants to kill Sheridan so badly. Like, even though there is another option sitting right there, the whole like stupid like imposter plot or whatever, like he just seems dead set on wanting to get rid of Sheridan. Like, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, he's been talking about killing Sheridan from like literally day one.
That's insane.
It's crazy. He's a psychopath and he hates women, and he like hates his own daughter because she's a daughter and not a son. Not that he treats his son very much better.
Yeah.
You know, I honestly don't know which one of them has it worse, because at least Sheridan was sent away.
Like, she got out.
Yeah. Like, she was sent away. I'm not gonna say she got out, because look at her. True. But she was sent away, and her childhood and her formative years were spent away from her father, away from the Cranes, and alone. But at least she wasn't being constantly abused and berated by Alistair like Julian was.
I think that they both are suffering in different regions, like different reasons and stuff. So it's not like one is worse than the other. It's like they both are messed up, and Alistair is a terrible father.
Yep. I agree 100%. So yeah, they're outside. Julian and Alistair are on the phone outside of the cottage. Rebecca's there too, I believe. And Alistair relents and says, okay, you don't have, we'll wait on killing Sheridan. Because Julian was really like, we don't have to do this right now. Like, do we have to kill her? We can try this. We can try this other thing first, basically.
Man had murder on his mind.
Yeah. And Al, I call him Al in my notes. I don't always type Alistair all the way out. I call him Al. Al relents, saying, we'll wait for now, but you two dimwits need to separate them now. He didn't say that. That's me paraphrasing, but that's basically what he said. So then Sheridan and Louise come out of the cottage, tell Rebecca and Julian that they will, in fact, go to the party. Rebecca and Julian are overjoyed, head off to scheme some more. So they go back to the mansion, and they are talking about their little schemes for Sheridan and Louise. And Ivy walks in on them, but she doesn't hear exactly what they're talking about. But they tell her that they're throwing a party for Sheridan and Louise, an engagement party. And she is immediately suspicious, because of course everybody should be. And everybody is, except for Sheridan.
See, the only one who can't see it.
It's crazy to me. Absolutely everyone who hears about this engagement party. We have this conversation 35,000 times. Honestly, probably 20 times. Legitimately, like, that is a real estimate. I know 35,000 is absolute hyperbole, but 20 is not overshooting it. We hear this line of, like, or this dialogue between so many different people in these five episodes. It's insane. And the dialogue goes like this: why on earth would Julian and Alistair want to throw an engagement party for Sheridan and Louise? This doesn't make any sense. They're up to something. That everybody in town is saying this, with the exception of like the kids. Absolutely everybody.
And she doesn't hear it. It just goes in one ear and out the other. Like, even the dumbest characters are like, this is a bad idea.
Yeah, Sam. Sam. Sam's like, yeah, this is, what's going on here? Why would they do that? But anyway, later, Pilar shows up to the cottage and expresses concern to Sheridan and Louise. She says to Louise at one point, because she holds it together in front of Sheridan, because I think she just didn't want to offend her by talking too bad about her family. But and also, let's not forget that Sheridan still is her employer. Like, Pilar works for these people.
I'll be forgetting that sometimes. I'm not gonna lie.
So she can't talk too crazy about them, right? So she says to Luis, mijo, are you crazy? Which I loved. Mijo, are you crazy? Why on earth would you want to go to a party thrown by Alistair and Julian for that's allegedly in support of you and Sheridan's relationship and engagement? It's not, absolutely not. And she says, those two hate you with every fiber of their being, which is true.
Yeah, she ain't saying no lies.
And so much has happened. So much so that I can't even remember it all, honestly. But so much has happened between Luis and Sheridan and then Alistair and Julian that, you know, even if just one of those things had happened to me, I would never want to be in a room with these people ever again.
I wouldn't even want to be in Harmony anymore. I'd move.
Oh, yeah. I mean, all of these people should have moved out of Harmony after the Hell House.
Actually, yeah. That happened yesterday, mind you.
Last night. It hasn't even been a full 24 hours. It happened last night going into the morning.
So what happened to the house?
It sucked to hell. It's gone. It's nothing but scorched earth right there now.
What in this show? And no one is, like, there are maybe, I think I can count on maybe like one hand how many times the Hell House has been referenced after this has happened. Like, and they're like the tiniest little references, like, oh yeah, since we don't have a house anymore, or oh yeah, you went to hell and back to go get, you know, what's her name or something like that. Like, it's like it didn't even happen, or like it was like a tiny thing that happened 15 years ago.
Yeah, it's nuts how quickly they move on from it. I'm still, you know what's crazy is we're still talking about it, and yet they're not.
Yeah, we're stuck in the past.
It didn't even happen to us. And we're still like, can we process this? I'm still trying to process it. They got it processed. They did not care.
Process it while it was happening. Because, you know, they was talking about everything else. Everything had to be about them.
Yeah, everything under the sun.
So
after seeing Pilar's, like, trepidations about this party, Sheridan's like, oh, maybe I should just go talk to Julian and Rebecca again just to make sure. Like, I don't get, like, what do you think is gonna happen? Go talk to them about what? It's like, oh, what's Sheridan, the point here? Sheridan. So she goes over to the Crane Mansion to talk to Rebecca and Julian. Does she even ever talk to them?
I didn't write anything about
that. All I wrote was she eventually fully leans into the notion that her father and Julian have changed, have had a change of heart and are finally showing her love and affection. And she's very excited about this party that is apparently happening tonight. Like, all of a sudden I realized that they weren't planning a party for a future date. They were planning an impromptu engagement party for tonight.
Because why not?
Because why not? What the hell else are these people doing? So everybody's going to the engagement party. The whole town's invited, according to Julian. The whole town's invited, and everybody's going, except for Grace, which we'll get to. So that's really all there is with Shuis this week. We get a glimpse of the imposter. He's poised and ready to do his thing. There's a new sexy decoy. You probably do not remember this. But you remember on Maury? You remember my mama used to watch Maury all the time. They used to have a lot of different things that they would do. But the main one was like, who's the baby's father, right?
Yeah.
But there was the other one that they used to do a lot, which was like, my man's been cheating on me, help me prove it. And then they would have a quote sexy decoy in the green room.
Yeah.
And they would trap these guys into cheating, which is like, if you're going to the Maury show, like, I feel like you should be on a fully alert, right?
Yeah.
About what's going to happen to you here at the Maury show. I don't know. But yes, anyway, Alistair has hired a sexy decoy. So Rebecca is not going to be like the sexy person who is caught in bed with Luis anymore.
She's trying to so bad, though.
Yeah, she does try so bad. When this blonde shows up, who her name was Dee Dee, she shows up and Rebecca is clearly very jealous and goes over and is like, I need to teach this girl the ropes and teach her what to do. Nobody can seduce a man like me. And then she goes and kisses the Luis imposter.
Like, girl, sit down.
It was weird, man.
Also, I just thought of something. Dee Dee the decoy.
DD the decoy. DD the delicious decoy. Delectable decoy.
I like that. Okay.
DD. Yeah. So that's where we are with them. DD and Imposter Man, they never gave him a name.
Okay, so I didn't just miss that. Because I was like, did they ever name this guy? Because I just been putting imposter. Like,
yeah, I always put imposter. They never gave him a name. But they're just waiting on their signal to ruin this night for Sheridan and Luis. So that's where we are with them. And let's move on to... because this is going to take no time. Let's very quickly talk about our faded couples, Teresa, Ethan, Gwen, and Chad and Whitney. Let's start with Teresa and Ethan. Ethan's angry. What else is new? Ethan's angry because he really wants to find out who sent the thing to the tabloid about his fraternity. And understandably so. Everyone keeps telling him to get over it. But like, it's just been a few weeks, according to them. And I have said this I've said this multiple times at this point. It's actually only been a few days, because Hell House happened like the day after Grace came home from the hospital. So, and Grace went into the hospital the night of that engagement party. And the engagement party happened, or the engagement party is when the tabloid came out. So it's really just been 2 or 3 days, if we're being honest and real about the timeline. But they've made it seem like it's been weeks. It has not been weeks. I'm sorry, it hasn't been weeks.
This timeline is atrocious.
They fucked it up. But if you watch it the way it's intended to be watched, I feel like you wouldn't notice or care.
Probably not.
Yeah, you wouldn't.
But we do.
Of course I do. So Ethan's mad about this. Chad tells them, hey man. I just feel like that's Chad's like line. Hey man. I feel like he does that a lot.
Catchphrase.
Or maybe I internalize it as that, but that's like my Chad impression. Hey man. Chill, relax. Like, he's just telling him, you keep saying that you're going to destroy some of the people who knew this but didn't tell you. And maybe your anger's misplaced. That's what he says to Ethan. And Ethan's like, hey, you keep saying that. Do you know something? Do you know someone who knew this about me but didn't tell me? And Chad goes, yeah, I do. And if I was still 12 years old watching this, I would have thought he's going to tell him about Teresa. But I immediately was like, oh, he's just going to say your mama.
Your mama joke.
What's a good your mama joke for Ivy? Your mama's so, because she's like a liar. Your mama's so deceitful. She didn't even tell you who your real daddy was.
Oh, gosh. Your mama faker than a $3 bill.
Yeah. No. Yeah. So it was your mom. Your mom knows. She knew. And do you hate her? No, you don't hate her. And Pilar knew. And do you hate her? No, you don't hate her. And it was, what Chad said made sense. And I appreciated him for saying it, because he's trying to lay the groundwork and soften the blow for when Teresa finally does tell him.
Whenever that happens.
It's never going to happen because Teresa has decided that she's just going to wait until the tabloid, they find out who sent the email to the tabloid, which is just playing right into Gwen's hands. Not that she knows this, but, or not that Teresa knows this, but it's playing right into Gwen's hands, and it's very annoying. Which, let's talk about Gwen real quick. I honestly as much as I detest Gwen as a character, every time she popped up on screen I laughed.
Like, it was so out of left field and it was so funny.
She gave me a good chuckle every time she popped up, because she literally was just popping up out of absolutely nowhere. This poor actress has no one to act with. Nobody.
Yeah, like I asked her, I was like, who was Gwen like even connected to?
Yeah, Rebecca, who's like off on her own adventure, you know?
Yeah, like she's doing her own little thing. So, we got Gwen just fading in from black into the bushes and stuff like that. So,
yeah. That's exactly what was happening. She was like just following Teresa around. And anytime Teresa said something about her wedding or like not telling Ethan about the secret just yet or anything, Gwen would kind of pop up in the background and say, "Joke's on you, Teresa. You're never going to marry Ethan." Like every single time she'll just slide up in the background by herself to absolutely no one.
You know what? It would be kind of funny if someone heard her, like just like a random character. Like, who are you talking to? And why are you just standing
like
here?
A groundskeeper?
Yeah. Like, why are you standing here talking to yourself? That's creepy. Like,
yeah. So Gwen's sad and pathetic and following around this teenage girl, and it's sad.
She doesn't have anything better to do.
Nothing. She's not, which Gwen has a job.
Does she?
She does. Gwen has a job. She's like an executive at her dad's company. So go do your job. Like, go to work. What are you doing at Harmony? Go to work. Don't you have some deals to close or something?
No.
Nothing. Not. She's nothing going on in her life. I don't feel bad for her,
she's
but
she's
you know what's crazy is Laura made that exact joke last
really?
Week. She made that exact joke about Grace, I think. And then we were talking about they're the real husks of Harmony instead of the real housewives.
Harmony. I love that.
The real husks of
they're
Harmony.
They're giving husk energy.
They're giving a husk energy for sure. She's a husk. So yeah, she's just following Teresa around, whatever. We do a lot of back and forth of we think that Teresa's gonna tell Ethan the truth and then she doesn't, and I'm not gonna talk about it
because there's nothing to talk about.
I refuse to talk about it. Her and Whitney have the same conversation 7 or 8 times. Again, that is a legitimate estimate. That is not hyperbole. They have the an identical conversation multiple times per episode.
Are y'all noticing a pattern here? Like how people keep having the same conversation like dozens of times and nothing's happening?
It's recap. They're recapping. Well, I told you, we're at 485. They're building us up for something big around 500. That's what's happening.
I can't wait for that.
They're making sure that anybody who has missed episodes in the last few weeks, and I bet you anything, the promos around this time for what was coming were like super explosive. So people were starting to tune back in if they hadn't watched, or trying to catch it if they hadn't watched. And so every episode from like now until like probably 499, 500 is going to be just heavy, heavy recap, I think. And then it's going to be extremely explosive, you know?
Ooh, the drama. I can't wait.
Yeah, the drama. Yeah, whatever. They're going to Shaweese's. They're excited to hear of the engagement news. All of these people, Ethan and Teresa, Chad and Whitney, and they're all going to go to the Shaweese engagement party as well. Let's talk about Chad and Whitney real quick.
Ugh.
Am I right?
Yeah,
this is horrible.
Annoying.
Chad and Whitney talk on the phone and they talk about telling Simone about their relationship. They say, we got to tell her. Whitney says very clearly that she wants to be the one to tell Simone about their relationship, even though I can see both sides of this, but I think Chad should probably be the one to tell her, not her sister, because I feel like it just feels very weird coming from your sister. Like, actually, he's my boy. Like, no matter how nicely she says it, it's gonna to me. Like, I know for myself, no matter how nicely somebody says something like that to me, it's going to sound really nasty and like you're bragging or like you're trying to hurt my feelings or something. Like, she needs to be let down by that man. I think
the man
I don't know
refuses to do it.
Well, I will, to Chad's credit, he's been saying he wants to, and now Whitney is explicitly telling him not to because she wants to do it. So I mean, he has some chances.
I was about to say, because he's had some chances earlier. He could have said something then. And what did he say? Nothing.
Not a thing. He's had some chances, but now Whitney's really kneecapping him.
Ugh.
You know? And she refuses to tell Simone. So anyway, this week was such a slog. And I feel like the episode of the podcast is feeling like a slog too. I'm sorry, y'all. So Whitney is getting ready for the engagement party at Teresa's house. Simone is also getting ready for the engagement party at Teresa's house because Kay is staying there with Miguel, right? She's like schemed her way into staying at this house. We'll get to it, but Kay like leaves Simone there by herself because she's a bad friend. And so Simone's at the house. Whitney's at the house. What's his name? Chad knows that Whitney's there and he's coming to pick her up for the engagement party. He's got her a corsage. Can you imagine a man bringing you a corset?
I would be offended.
I'd be so offended. But what if a man brought you a corset thinking it was like a corsage, like he mixed up corset and corsage and was like, I heard you're supposed to get corsets for girls when you go to.
I would find that so cute and funny. I'm not going to lie. I would. You're so dumb. I can't even be mad at that.
But exactly. You're so dumb. Get out of my, like, please leave. You're too dumb. How can I trust you? No. But no. I'm glad that you have such lightness in your heart. I have a dark, dark heart.
You don't. You just know more about the world. That's all.
Okay. So anyway, when Chad shows up with his corsage and he's all excited, he comes in, he talks to Pilar, and Simone's like standing around the corner listening in. And Chad never says, hey, I'm here to pick up Whitney. He says, I'm here to pick up my girl. Is my girl here? Is my girl ready? I got this corsage for my girl. So Simone comes bouncing around the corner like, oh my gosh, Chad. This is such a beautiful corsage. I love it. Any girl would love it, and puts it on and then starts calling him her boyfriend again. And he doesn't say anything. And then Whitney comes walking around the corner and she doesn't say anything. And they just look at each other. Chad's looking at Whitney and Whitney's looking at Chad and Chad's looking at Whitney and nobody's looking at Simone.
This scene was so annoying that like, I was tempted to not even take notes because I was like, this is just so, like, why someone say something, please?
I really didn't take notes. I have 3 notes under this. And so, yeah, we're going to finish it up. So Simone says to Chad, hey, how did you know that I would be here and not at home? And then I was like, yes, I want to hear this. Like, let's hear the explanation. They do not give it to us. We skip right to the engagement party. The next thing we see is the next thing we see is Chad and Whitney walking up to the front of the Crane Mansion and Simone running after them going, wait for me, guys. Like,
see, my theory as to why they just skipped that whole interaction, maybe we'll find out later that they actually said something, but I think that the writers were like, we can't write our way out of this because this literally does not make any sense, so we're just gonna skip to the next scene and just let y'all fend for yourselves.
I hope people just forget that she asked the question.
Just forget.
Yeah. So they get to the party. Chad says to Whitney before Simone catches up to them, Chad says to Whitney, we need to tell her. And he says we need to tell her about us. Whitney says, I know, but I don't want to hurt her feelings. And then inside the party, they're talking again and Simone's nowhere to be seen. So they're talking again. And Chad is like pushing Whitney to say, like, when are you going to tell her? We got to tell her like soon. And Whitney says, well, I don't want to tell her in front of all these people. She'll be so embarrassed, which I understand. But why didn't you tell her when y'all were at the house?
Yeah. Doesn't make any sense.
I mean, y'all were in a place where there weren't so many people. Why would you wait till you were at a party?
Y'all have been in places where there aren't so many people plenty of times at this point. And
So Simone and Chad are on a date. that's where we are.
Yeah. Some... By the time we like finished that up, I think we both just kind of decided that Simone and Chad, they're dating.
Yeah, they're together.
They're together.
They're together.
And Whitney's just there.
At this point, they're together, and Simone is fully and completely within her right to be very upset when all of this shit hits the fan, because they should have said something to her by now.
They should have.
And they let this, and I've said this before, they let this go on for a long time.
Way too long.
No. They're going to let this go on for a much longer.
They're going to keep up.
Yeah, this is going on. This is going to go on for a long time.
You know what? At first, I was annoyed with Simone, and I still am, because she is... Can I even say she's delusional anymore?
No.
Because Chad isn't challenging it. Nope. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So I can't even say that anymore. But Chad and Whitney, they're in the wrong now too, because you're not doing anything. You're not stopping it. You're just sitting there and letting it happen. You know, like
I don't even call Kay delusional anymore, right? And what's that boy's name? Miguel. And Miguel's like clearly firmly with Charity. And I'm like, no, Kay's not delusional. Simone, I'm not going to call her delusional, because there's no way for her to know that Chad and Whitney are together. Nobody's saying it to her.
Yeah.
She hasn't really seen them together, you know, talking, but nothing else. And as far as she knows, he has told her he loves her.
Exactly.
I mean, she's not completely wrong. I know we said something about her being delusional a few weeks back, but I'm taking it back.
Yeah, we're rescinding that because...
Yeah, because they've let this go on.
No one's challenged it.
They've let this go on too long.
Yeah.
And so now she's just in a relationship with Chad.
And you know what? Chad and Whitney are going to have to deal with that when the fallout eventually happens.
I get Chad wanting to, like, respect Whitney's wishes and not saying anything to Simone. But we've taken this way too far.
Yeah, we've taken it to a place that it did not need to be.
And at a certain point, like, it's not just about Simone's feelings. It's not just about what Whitney wants. What does Chad want? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he's the asshole in the situation. He ends up being the asshole in the situation. He's the bad guy. Because it looks like he's two-timing these girls. These sisters. Yeah. Right? He's dating both of these sisters, which he is. He's dating both of these sisters. Unwillingly, but he's... Well, I don't know. He seems pretty willing to me.
Yeah, low-key willing.
Yeah.
Because he's not stopping anything.
Yeah. So, he needs to stick up for himself at this point.
He is well within his power to do so, but he won't.
He needs to stick up for himself at this point and not just kowtow to Whitney.
I'm not gonna lie. If I was Whitney, I don't know, Whitney has also been like trying to stop Chad. So, but like if it was me and we were all in this situation and my theoretical sister wanted to date my boyfriend or whatever, like, and he was so unwilling to say either way, like say like, you know, please stop dating me or whatever, I would honestly break up with him, because like if you don't have...
No, but again, it's not that he did, it's because Whitney doesn't want him to say anything.
I know, but like he's also had chances to say something, you know, before Whitney started being like, you shouldn't say anything to Simone, like he had some chances and stuff like that. He still didn't, and that would be something, that'd be a little bit of a red flag for me.
It's just taking too long. All of it's just taking too long.
It's too drawn out.
It's all just taking too long. All right. So let's move on. That's it for them. Let's move on to these troubled marriages. Again, there's not much to say here either. There's just not much to say about anything this week. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm sorry this episode is so lame.
We're doing our best, but there just wasn't that much content.
It was a tough. This was the toughest week I've ever endured on Passions. In 485 episodes, I've never had a week this boring. Oh my gosh. Okay, so troubled marriages. I can't even talk. Troubled marriages. So Grace and Eve have the same conversation Grace and Eve have been having. Where Eve's, and well, the same conversation everybody's been having with Grace, where they're telling her, stop pushing Sam into Ivy's arms. You're going to lose your husband. That's it. That's the conversation. Then Sam is talking to TC and they have the same conversation they've been having, which is actually a little bit more productive of a conversation, where TC says to Sam, I think Grace has a point. Ooh. And you know what's crazy is TC never says that to Grace. He only ever says it to Sam. And I wish he would validate Grace in person, because I think she deserves that. But anyway, he says to Sam, basically, I think Grace has a point. I think you do need to work through your feelings for Ivy. Are you really sure that there's nothing there, that there's nothing between the two of you? Because the way you went about all of this does seem suspicious. And Sam assures him, there's nothing between me and Ivy. You know, that ended years ago. Same old, same old, same old, same old. We hear the same old song. Same old song. You are my passion for life. The same old song over and over again. So while this is happening at the shop or wherever they are, I think they're at Tabitha's house, right? That's another thing. The locations were weird this week. I was confused about where people were. And it's interesting because that's like the exact same thing Laura said last week. She was like, I'm confused about where everybody is. And I, this week, am confused, was a little confused about where we were at different times.
Like, there's been parts where I thought they were already in the Crane Mansion. And then, like, they, like, oh, we've arrived at the Crane Mansion. I was like, where were you at earlier then? Where was this house?
Yeah, I think they were at Tabitha's house.
I'd be so confused. Yeah, maybe so.
So, anyway, I think they're at Tabitha's house. But Pilar's not at Tabitha's house. Pilar is, of course, at the mansion. With Ivy, which, I mean, that is where she works. So she's at work. She has a chat with Ivy, who they have a conversation. I would say they have the same conversation, and they do, but there's new things in there. They actually talk about this engagement party, which was interesting. And they have the conversation where they both are talking about how suspicious they are of Julian, of Alistair, of this engagement party, trying to figure out why on earth would they be throwing an engagement party for Sheridan and Louise. So I liked that conversation between the two of them, but then it moved into the same old of Pilar begging Ivy not to break up Sam and Grace's marriage and begging her to not to take Sam from Grace. And Ivy says to her, I'm not taking anything from Grace. She's giving him to me on a silver platter. I do love Ivy. I love a good Ivy moment. I mean, again, this week was kind of boring, but I got a few little good moments that I was like, all right, this is keeping me alive. You know, they were giving me little drips, drops, little crumbs.
Also, there are a few great little moments. We're going to get into this later, but, you know, special effects.
Yeah, we had a couple, and we're going to get into it in magic. We had a couple of good things going on there. So Ivy and Pilar are having this conversation about the engagement party. Then it turns into the conversation about Ivy and Sam, because at first Ivy is very much against this engagement party, but then she realizes that it'll give her a chance to play family, play house with Sam and Ethan. She's like, Sam will be there, Ethan will be there. It's like, we'll be the family we never were, the family we always should have been. And then Pilar says to her, how can you cause so much pain, Ivy? Pilar, I love Pilar, but she's so dramatic.
She is.
I do love Pilar. I do. I know I've been giving her a lot of shit lately. I do like Pilar as a character. I just wish she would... I just wish she would use her knowledge for good. She knows everything, and I just feel like she never uses it correctly. She could hatch some really good plans, and she just never does.
She refuses. Well, that actually moves me into a question I would want to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think is the most sane character in Passions?
Okay, you asked me this before we started.
And I've given you some time to think.
Yes. And I, believe it or not, the most sane character is Tabitha.
How did I know?
Because it's the correct answer. Because it's the correct answer.
It makes sense, though, because, like, she has her plans and stuff like that. She carries them out.
They don't work out.
They don't work out. But, like, most of the time, that's not her fault. It's just, like, you know, good triumphs over evil and stuff like that, you know? But, like, she doesn't make too many decisions that are, like, why would you do that?
Well,
you
know? then again, they say the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result.
That's true.
And she does do the exact same, but they all do that.
Yeah, I was about to say, by that definition, everybody on the show is insane. So there can't be any sane characters on
the
show.
Who is the most sane character? Like, Tabitha, maybe Timmy. I think Timmy might be the most sane character.
No, his love for Charity is...
Yeah, but that's minuscule in comparison to, say, Teresa stalking Ethan.
That's true.
Or Kay trying to seduce Miguel and pushing her cousin into hell, to selling her soul to have sex with Miguel. Like, it's like, it kind of pales in comparison. The fact that he has a crush on Charity.
We gotta talk about Kay. I got some things to say about Kay.
I have so much to say about Kay, and I'm still firmly team Kay.
You're team K?
Period. Period. I'm still firmly team K. I don't give a fuck.
Team K.
I'm firmly team K.
She's so mean when, like, Charity was, like, talking.
I can't stand her.
Y'all should have seen it. She was, like, mocking her as she was talking. Like, she wasn't even saying anything. She was just like, I love you, Miguel, or something like that. I can't wait till we get married. That was it.
Yeah, that's exactly. She was like, we're gonna get married. Shut up. She's so dumb. I can't stand her.
Like, dang, what does she do?
She's so annoying. You don't think she's annoying?
I don't think she's any more annoying than the majority of the characters on the show. And maybe it's because I do get annoyed with the repeating plot lines.
Yeah.
So that's all just getting lumped together for me, you know? Yeah. Now, there are definitely more annoying characters than Charity, and there's definitely characters that are less annoying than her. So I don't know. I don't have a big problem with her. I'm not team anybody, though.
Yeah. Listen, can you know whose teams I'm on, right?
Whose teams are you on?
What teams do you think I'm on?
Okay.
Based on the way I talk,
your team Simone.
I'm not team Simone.
No, because at this point
I am and I'm not. That's actually a good one that's a good, like, observation that you just made. I am and I'm not team Simone. Like, I believe in Chad and Whitney's, like, love story. So I don't want Simone to be with Chad. So I'm not team Simone in that way, but I do want Simone to, like, win. I want Simone to just do better.
You want,
like, yeah. I'm rooting for Simone.
You want her to improve.
I'm rooting for Simone. But there's a lot of people I'm not rooting for. Like, there's people I'm actively rooting against.
Like Reese.
Ugh. I'm sick of him.
You're just mad at his existence. Like, all he did was enter the show, the episode.
And he did it in the most annoying way possible. I'm sick of him. Actually, let's finish this up so we can talk about these kids. Oh, wait. Who's your favorite? I mean, who do you think is the most sane character? You don't know.
I would probably say either. Yeah, I'd probably say either Tabitha or Timmy.
Believe it or not, they're the most, like, grounded in reality, which is so interesting.
It is interesting. You know, maybe this show is trying to say something. I don't know exactly what it is, but I think the show might be trying to say something.
A deep philosophical point.
Yeah, there might be some kind of commentary here that we're kind of scratching out a little bit
that we're missing.
Yeah.
Let's get back to Ivy. Pilar says, how can you cause so much pain, Ivy? And says she's taking Sam, trying to take Sam from Grace. And she says, you're sinking to the same level as Alistair and Julian. Ooh, now that's a low blow. Ooh. That's especially a low blow to Ivy, you know.
Yeah,
considering her history,
what she has to deal with.
Yeah. So she, again, I beg you, leave Sam and Grace alone. How many times did that actress have to say that line? My god,
it's muscle memory at this point.
I've heard that so many times. Ivy says she's not taking Sam from Grace. Grace is handing him over willingly on a silver platter, in fact. Then later, elsewhere, Sam and Grace are having the same conversation they've been having, wherein Sam says, I don't need to resolve my feelings for Ivy. Please don't make me spend time with her. I only want to be with you. He only wants to be with her. And she says to him, no, I think that you need to take this time, go be with her, make sure there's not even a little bit of a spark, and then come back to me. And I said this last week, and I'm going to say it again. It's unrealistic for Grace to expect for Sam to have zero love in his heart for Ivy at all whatsoever. Yeah. It's nonsense. And it's unrealistic. People love multiple people.
Yeah, that's not how love works, you know? Like, you can't expect someone to love you and only you. Now, what you can expect is loyalty.
Mm-hmm. And monogamy.
And monogamy. Like, that is fine. That's valid. But you can't expect someone to just only see you. Like, that's just not what happens. You just have to trust them to not act on those feelings.
Yeah. Monogamy is a choice. And the person you choose is the person that you choose. And that should be enough. If you choose them every day, you wake up and you choose that person every single day. And that's what Sam wants to do for Grace. That's what he's trying to do with Grace. And she just, like, won't let him at this point. Now, again, I have said this multiple times. I am more Team Grace than I am Team Sam. I'm more on Grace's side than I am on Sam's side right now. But it is becoming a little much, like the pressing of you need to go and be with her and spend time with her. And, like, I don't know. I get the wanting him to sit down and have a conversation with her, but, like, the whole, like, go to the party, dance with her, laugh with her. That's, like, she says that to him, which is weird. Why? For what? You know, people can still have fun with their exes. That's not, like, unusual, I don't think. It's not unusual for me.
It's
not,
yeah, it's like a thing that happens.
I mean, if you didn't have, like, I know they had, like, a weird, nasty breakup and they had some unresolved stuff. But, you know, sometimes people just aren't right for each other. And sometimes, even if you did have a nasty breakup, life moves on. Yeah. You grow, you change, you see the other person again, and you're like, you know, you remember the things you liked about them.
Yeah, you remember the good times.
Yeah, you don't stop liking somebody because y'all break up. You know, you don't stop liking the things that you liked about them.
Yeah.
So anyway, Sam's going to go to the party. Grace is not going to go to the party. Understandable, considering what happened to her the last time she was at the Crane Mansion. Honestly, none of these people should be going to the party. Yeah. If it were me, I would really just be abstaining from this party.
I'd be at home doing my own thing.
Yeah. I know it's Luis and Sheridan's engagement party. I think I would have told them, especially if I was like Sam or Eve or TC, these people, I would have told them, hey, I'm not going to come to this party. I love you. It's so short notice. I'm busy.
Yeah. Number I have one. A life, job.
Number two, we'll throw you a party.
Yeah.
Like, we want to throw you a party. So enjoy your party at the Crane Mansion, and then we'll throw you a party at the youth center or wherever. Yeah. That is absolutely how I would have handled this, especially if Grace, like, I'm Eve. From Eve's perspective, Eve is Grace's best friend. If my best friend not going, I'm not going. Yeah. If my best friend's not going because she suffered an incredible trauma at this house, I'm not going. Not to mention, Julian's going to be there, and they got that whole thing, her and Julian and TC. And they bring that up a little bit this week.
Yeah.
Not enough to talk about.
Yeah, it's just like repeating the same things we already knew.
Yeah. Basically. Yeah, not enough to really talk about. So, yes, Grace insists that Sam go and talk and dance, laugh with Ivy, see if there's a spark left between them. And he agrees, saying if this is how he can get his family back, he's going to get his family back. He says, I just want my family back. And he says he wants to do it as soon as possible. He says he's going to go to the party, and then he's going to come back and take Grace to dinner. And she says, it's a date. So she's like into it. Yeah. I don't know. It's weird. I guess Grace just has mixed feelings, which is understandable, I guess.
it's understandable that he that she I guess wants to make sure that he's not gonna like cheat on her with Ivy, I guess, but like this it's such a weird way to go about it.
Yeah,
I don't know, it's strange.
Yeah, so
they're strange.
Grace talks about if it because I think it's Eve that says to her, you know, you really gonna let Sam go to this party by himself, and Grace says if Sam can't be alone at a party with Ivy for one night, then our marriage doesn't stand a chance. Fair.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Fair.
Like I said, it's about trust. And if you can't trust him, then you shouldn't be with him.
Yeah. So later, Sam comes back. He goes somewhere. I don't know. There's a lot back and forth. Sam comes back to the house. Oh, it's after everybody gets dressed up for the party. So Sam comes to pick up the girls from Tabitha's house. And he and Grace have yet another talk about their relationship. And Charity is like watching on. I think it's Charity and Kay are watching them talk. And then Charity has a premonition. She has a vision of Sam and Ivy kissing at the engagement party, like really full blown making out at the engagement party, and Grace walking in on them in her like formal wear. And when she comes out of her vision, she tells Kay what it was. And Kay's like, well, that can't be true because my mom's not going to the party. So you're an idiot. That's what she basically says.
Like, that's her takeaway.
And that's kind of where we leave it with the troubled marriages this week. There's not anything else to talk about. All right. So let's finish up with magic today. So at the top of these episodes, Kay and Simone are talking about Charity and Miguel, like, you know, par for the course. Simone talks about how much of a hard worker Charity is. She's like, Charity got up at 6 o'clock this morning and she says all of these like insane things. Like she baked muffins for the Airbnb, not the Airbnb. She baked muffins for the B&B. And then she like wove some carpets and she like knitted. Like she was just saying all of these outlandish things that Charity did before 10 a.m. Just like, I don't know. It's like she was trying to, I know what they were doing. They were trying to show the difference between Kay and Charity, and that Charity's like this perfect young woman. She's like there's nothing interesting about her. There's nothing interesting about that. That you get up and start making muffins.
Like, okay, I mean, good, I guess, but like, nothing for me to latch on to. You know?
So Simone's like comparing Charity to Kay at this moment, and Kay hasn't done anything all day. She's like reading a magazine and just daydreaming about her sex dream about Miguel. And whatever. Kay continues to scheme, saying she's going to get Miguel by the end of the summer. She says, I'll have Miguel's ring on my finger by the end of the summer. They do a lot of like back and forth, but finally we get to her plan. And the plan is to get pregnant. That's the plan. That's the plan. The plan is to get pregnant. She says she's going to be able to spend more time with Miguel because she's staying at his house. So she'll be with him more than Charity will be, which is ridiculous because we all know how Miguel is never at home. He's always somewhere up Charity's ass. He is never at home. So that logic does not stand up, Kay.
So one point, you know, in the trash.
Already. Yeah. But she says she's going to be spending more time with Miguel because she's staying at his house. And she says she'll do anything she has to get him. And that she's going to use the long, hot summer nights to seduce him. Hmm. And then she says, Miguel won't ever be able to leave me once he finds out I'm pregnant with his baby. And I'm gonna say I'm still Team K, but this is a bad, bad, bad plan.
This is a bad take from her.
But at least it's interesting.
It is like, interesting.
Like Charity's not interesting.
There's nothing going on with her. Also, like another reason why this plan doesn't make any sense is actually, you know what? I'm gonna wait till later because there's some more evidence that I want to put behind.
Okay.
This,
so okay.
I'm gonna wait.
Okay. So Simone tells her that's like such an underhanded thing to do and that's so horrible. And then Kay says women have been doing it for thousands of years. Girl, shut up.
Also, that is such a dumb, like, reasoning. Like, you can't use the excuse that something's been done for thousands of years to justify that it's good. Ever heard of a thing called slavery? Like, yeah. I'm just saying.
Also, what? What are you talking about? Who wrote this that women have been trapping men into marriages for thousands of years with babies? It's like men have been raping women for thousands of years. Like, we can say
that. That too.
What?
Someone wrote this.
Who wrote this?
Someone wrote this.
But so anyway, she's talking about getting pregnant and Grace and Sam walk in. Oh my God. Ooh. And they were like, who's getting pregnant? What are you talking about? You're planning to get pregnant? And I thought the way they set it up, I thought it was going to be just a regular old, they walk in on something. They don't realize what they've heard. We think that they heard her, but they didn't. But they absolutely heard what she was saying. They didn't get the full context though. And so they're trying to get the context. And she says, oh no. Now the way this girl, again, I'm Team K. The girl is interesting. The girl is interesting.
She was masterful with this.
Masterful. She immediately is like, oh no, Simone and I were just talking about how Ivy got pregnant with Ethan. Ah. Oh my God. Oh my God. The way I was like, okay, girl. Like, that was the way she told that lie so fast. Like, it was like she had it ready.
Yes, like she had it in there just in case someone like walked in on her talking about that.
Like, she was like, I'm going to use this against my parents one day. Like, she heard the information.
She had it locked and loaded.
Yeah, it was mean. It was so mean, but it did shut her parents down quick. Yeah.
Instantly.
Yeah.
Gone.
Yeah, they like shooed her away. Like, they were like, we'll talk about it later and sent her off on her merry. And again, Simone chastises her for being so mean and nasty and underhanded. And she says, you really don't have a soul, do you?
Yet Simone continues to be her friend. So what does that say about you?
Listen, Kay literally slapped Simone across the face.
What? Yeah. I would be so done. Instantly done.
Yeah. No way. Finished. No, I don't know how Kay has any friends at all. She's terrible. I'm on her team as far as like the show goes. I would never be friends with her though. I mean, I wouldn't be friends with Charity. I wouldn't be friends with Charity either. I wouldn't be friends with these people at all. I'd be friends with Teresa.
I'd be friends with Tabitha.
Teresa, Whitney. Tabitha's an evil witch. I would not be friends with Tabitha.
No. But like, I don't know. She just seems like kind of fun. Like, besides the evil witch part.
She murders people.
She murdered people?
She has murdered a lot of people.
I didn't think people died in this show.
She's a murderer.
Like, besides, like, a couple.
No, the main characters don't die. But she has killed, like...
Oh, like, they brought people onto the show
to kill them by Tabitha. Yeah.
I hate when shows do that.
Yeah. They showing us that she's an evil witch and she kills people. She's a murderer. So, no, I don't think I would want to hang out with Tabitha just for those reasons. But I would hang out with Teresa. I would hang out with Whitney, even though she's, like, a little, like... She seems like super pretentious and really stuck up. Whitney's super stuck up. I don't love that.
You don't love that about her?
But I would hang out with Simone. I would be friends with Simone. I would be friends with my friend group will be Simone and Teresa on this show.
Simone and Teresa and Chad. Yeah. He seems chill.
Those would be my friends.
Date him because of all that madness. But...
No, I wouldn't date any of these people. Not a one. Not a single one.
Not a one. No.
Not a single one.
No. No.
Sleep with them, yes. Not date.
Not date.
Mm-mm.
I can't blame you. These people are messy.
So let's move on to after. Kay goes back in the house. She's still plotting and scheming to get pregnant. Elsewhere, Miguel and Charity are like snuggled up on the couch at Tabitha's house. And Tabitha's like worried about them wanting to get married and goes and tries to talk them out of it. And they tell her that they love each other and there's no reason they should not get married. And then they start talking. I'm really confused about the timeline here. I don't know what time of the year it is. I'm not sure. Cause they're talking about the summer, but then also they're talking about college, but then they're also saying they're not 18 yet, but then also they're saying next year we'll be in college. I'm not sure. Are they going into their senior year, or are they going, like, are they finishing up their senior year now? I don't know. It's all very confusing.
I don't think they know.
Yeah, I don't think they know either. Tabitha tries to talk them out of getting married so young. They're like, no, we're going to get married, and we're going to get married now. They then go and tell Grace and Sam that they want to get married over the summer, and Kay faints. They break the news to everybody.
Oh, boy.
Kay just falls, and it's hilarious, and it was great. And it was
amazing.
And it was legit. Like, she really just passed out.
That information really just shook her to her core.
And here's what, this is why I can't stand Charity, because her response was, she must have been so overwhelmed with happiness for us. Huh?
That is so, you know what? I will give you that. That is so,
I can't like, stand girl, her.
What do you mean?
I can't People don't stand her. For that. I can't stand her. She's insufferable. I'm sorry to all the people who love Charity so much, but it's like that, those kinds of things that really irritate me about her. What are you saying? You're so, that's so, such a selfish thing to say. And I think that's what bothers me, is that they make it seem like Charity's like such a saint and she's a perfect angel, but she's also very self-centered.
Yeah, she only cares about her and Miguel's love triumphing.
Yeah. That's yeah. It. Yeah. So anyway, Kay faints. Once she finally comes to, she tells Simone off in the corner, she's like, I gotta get pregnant tonight.
We gotta move this up. We gotta do it now.
She's expediting her plan to get pregnant. It's happening immediately.
Yeah.
So now her plan is to like seduce Miguel after the engagement party tonight. That's like the new thing. So nobody's on board with Charity and Miguel getting married. Nobody. Everybody's telling them they're too young. And they tell like a room full of people. I think it's Grace, Sam, TC, Eve, Charity, Jessica. Who else was there?
I think you got it.
Hey, oh. Simone. Like it's what? A Pilar. No, Pilar wasn't there. But yeah, a room full of people. Yeah. And nobody's on board. Everybody tells them like, you're too young. You should wait. How do you know that you're with the right person? They just keep saying they love each other. They're in love. That nothing's going to change between them. They're in love. That's their answer to everything.
That's
We're in love. They can't say what they love about each other, but they're in love.
Actually, that is a great point. Have they ever said what they loved about each other?
No, I think Miguel at one point said he loved Charity's goodness.
Well,
and that's not,
there you have it, folks. Goodness.
The goodness. He loves her goodness. And that's it. Like, do y'all like the same books? Are y'all into the same kinds of things? What do y'all talk about besides getting married?
Do y'all have any hobbies that you do together? Like,
right. And that's a reason why, again, I'm Team K on this K and Miguel thing. Even though I don't think that I actually want better for K, and I want her to want better for herself. But just like Teresa, I want her to get what she wants. So I'm on her side on that, right? But she and Miguel, they play video games together. They play softball together. They've been best friends since they were kids.
Like, they actually have things.
They have a relationship, which is why I'm going to keep saying she's not delusional. I'm going to keep saying it. She's not delusional. They have a relationship.
And Miguel has said that he cares for Kay.
He has said he loves Kay. He has said he loves Kay, that if Charity had never come into the picture, that they would have been together. And he has kissed her at least 2 times.
Wow.
So, on the mouth. And when they were in hell, and I will keep bringing this up, and when they were in hell and he broke free of the demons, he went to save Kay before he went to save Charity. So.
You know what?
My girl's not delusional.
No, she's not.
No. She is, in a way, she's so much like Teresa, but just not as quite as savvy. Like, not that Teresa's is all that savvy. I love my girl, but oof. This whole tabloid thing is not looking good for her. But in a way, she's similar to Teresa in that she is willing these things to happen for her. She just hasn't quite gotten where Teresa's gotten, right?
Like, yeah.
she keeps putting herself in Miguel's way, and he's like curving her, you know, a little bit. He's curving her a little bit.
Yeah.
But she knows in her heart that they belong together. And that's how Teresa feels about Ethan. She knows in her heart that she and Ethan belong together. There's nothing going to stand between them. And that's exactly where Kay is. That's exactly where Ivy is. I know in my heart that this man belongs to me and with me. He just doesn't know it yet. That's what Kay keeps saying, that.
But he will.
He just doesn't know it yet. Teresa used to say the same shit. He just doesn't know it yet. Ivy says it all the time. He just doesn't know it yet. He just won't admit it. That's what Ivy keeps saying. He just won't admit it. But I like these three women. The trifecta.
They know what they want.
They know, and they're going to get it. They're strong women. I love a strong female lead. I'm off on a tangent. I'm sorry. Where are we in this story? They're going to get married. Everybody tells them it's a bad idea. Yeah. They refuse to listen. And then finally, Sam steps in and says, listen, we have certain rules. And as long as you live under our roof, which I kind of laughed at because you ain't got no roof.
What roof? What roof?
Your roof is in hell.
As long as you live on our scorched earth.
Yeah.
Like, okay, buddy.
It's like, I live at Tabitha's house now. So, but Tabitha doesn't want them together either. But he says to them, to Charity specifically, you know, you're going to have to live by the same rules that we have for our daughters and our kids. Cause they do have a son named Noah that they never mention.
Gotten child.
Seriously. And he says that they can get married once they are over the age of 18 and can take care of themselves and live on their own. If you are 18 and can live on your own without our help, then you can get married.
And you know what? I think that's extremely fair.
Me too. Me too. I was like, that's fair.
Yeah.
So now it's just a question of when do they turn 18? Very confused about that.
Yeah.
Like, how much time is there left before their 18th birthdays?
I'm guessing somewhere in the ballpark of 1 to 2 years.
I think it's somewhere in the ballpark of 6 months to a year.
6 months to a year?
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe.
Because they're either... Well, see, and if they're not 18 yet, then that tells me they're probably going into their senior year, right?
Well, maybe they just have late birthdays.
But if they had late birthdays, then their birthdays would be happening over the summer.
Oh.
Right?
Wait.
Or, well, like, my birthday's in November. So I went and I started school when I was 4. So when I graduated high school, I was 17 and I went to college at 17, 18. But everybody in my class, when we graduated, they were already 18.
Yeah.
So if we're at the end of the school year, it stands to reason that if it's the end of the school year, that the seniors would all be 18. Yeah. Or very, very close to turning 18.
So that's why you think even if they have like a late birthday, they still should be turning 18 very soon.
Yeah, but I'm also trying to figure out, are they juniors going into their senior year, or are they seniors going into their college year?
I don't know.
I'm confused. It's that little bit. If y'all can help me out with this,
yes, shine some light on this for us.
Yeah,
the show won't. So
yeah, it never would. So everybody's against it. Sam tells them they can get married when they're 18. Fine. Meanwhile, Tabitha is trying to figure out a way to keep Charity and Miguel from getting married, because she hasn't heard this plan. Or, well, she did hear that they can't get married till they're 18, but she still's like, we have to tear them apart. Because you were like flabbergasted by this.
Yeah, this was crazy to me.
Because once Charity and Miguel have sex, Charity will come into her full powers. And this is a plot point that I think we talked about in like episode 2 or 3 of the podcast years ago.
Who came up with this?
And we talked about it, and we were just as flabbergasted and incredulous about it as you were when you saw it.
Okay, I'm glad I'm not the only one, because what is that plot point?
Yeah, what?
Like,
and I'm going to make the same joke I made in 2020. And so buckle in.
All right.
I'm going to make the exact same joke. The fact that they have written that she will become more powerful once she has sex is absurd. It's absurd. dick can only make you weaker. It can only make you weaker. It cannot make you more powerful. I'm telling you this from experience. It can only make you weaker.
I have a question. So was there, did it specify that there had to be a penis involved? Or like, no?
No, but this is like, I mean,
I know that's 2020. Like,
yeah, that's 2023 thinking. And this is 2001 writing, 2001 written by 40-year-olds in 2001. Okay. So it's this is 70s thinking.
Seriously. You gotta go back even further.
Yeah, seriously.
It's like, not like they were born in 2001.
Like, you've seen all the purity stuff on this show. And like, so they're not even thinking. And they eventually do have like some LGBTQ representation later on in the story.
That's terrible.
Horrible.
I'm not even gonna get my hopes up for that, because I know it's gonna be a train wreck.
Horrible representation.
Okay, is it horrible in the sense that they did try, but they just failed, like they completely missed the mark? Or is it terrible in the sense that they're trying to make a mockery of LGBT? Or is it a little bit of both?
Neither, actually. Neither? It's more terrible in this is what you think of LGBTQ people.
So they're just stupid.
Like, it's like just, it's bad. It's very bad.
Wow. Well, can't wait to see that.
It's very bad. So anyway, let's stay in 2001, where Charity has to lose her virginity to come into her full powers. But that's a good question. I think it has to be Miguel specifically. Well, for now, I think she just has to be in love. It has to be her true love. So maybe it could be a woman if that was like her thing.
Maybe, who knows? Not us.
Nope, and we never will. So Tabitha's trying to figure out how she can break these two up, right? She's like, we got to figure something out. We got to find something out. And she still doesn't have her powers. And then we hear some rumbling, and they're like, what is that rumbling? She hears this rumbling in her house, and out of her closet appears the divining rod, which, again, I can't remember exactly when this came up, but it was years ago. We haven't talked about the divining rod in years, but it came up. And I loved it when I saw it, honestly.
They're rewarding the old fans.
I was like, all right, here we go, divining rod. And so she and Timmy grab on. She's like, the divining rod is trying to show me where an evil item is that will break the two apart. And then they take off flying through the sky. Timmy's on her back. She's holding onto the rod, flying through the sky. And she's like, oh no, it's steering me to that house. If it doesn't, we've got to steer away, because if we go into that house, we're going to fly right into the living room. It's like, and she's trying to steer away, but she crashes into this house. It was the Crane Mansion. She crashes into the living room of the Crane Mansion where Ivy, Julian, and Rebecca are having a conversation. And they are not as alarmed by this as they probably should be. Julian's like super freaked out, because all he can think about is that doll. He's like, there's that doll. It talks.
Yeah, because he's
on the scene. It has poured me a drink. We've had conversations. It's alive. And Rebecca's looking at him like, oh. And I think at one point she makes a joke about being able to commit him once they get married.
Yeah, she does. Which I think is hilarious.
Yeah. And there's some hijinks that were lovely that I will absolutely be posting for this week's episodes on the social medias, because they were like the only usable clips of Julian like trying to find clues about like the doll being alive in the house, because Timmy just goes on a walkabout inside of the mansion,
just let loose, free.
Yeah, he goes to Julian's library or office or whatever and makes himself a martini, and Julian finds it, and he finds a button from Timmy's glove, and it's fun little Scooby-Doo hijinks.
Yeah, it's very funny.
Yeah,
I enjoyed that part.
I really enjoyed it. It was something this week, and I really enjoyed it. So while she's there, again, they don't make a big deal about the fact that she has crashed into this
mansion. They're just very underwhelmed.
They're very like nonchalant about it. They get her like some water, sit her down, and She explains that she, her divining rod, she doesn't say it was looking for
an evil
object. I don't know. I don't know. Because how did they not ask how she even got on the grounds? It's a gated place. Like, they have security and everything.
I don't know, man.
Anybody.
They're acting like she just walked in, had, like, full permission to walk in, just dropped in.
They have the worst security.
When she literally dropped in.
Yeah. She flew into the house. And we don't say anything about it. She ends up inviting herself to the engagement party so that she can search for the evil object.
Because Julian said everyone and their mama can come. So yeah.
So I think that's kind of, oh, we got one more little thing, little tidbit to finish up with. Kay. We gotta go back to Kay. Do we really? Let me look at this.
Wait. Well, there is one little thing I want to say.
We gotta talk about Charity's Premonition.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Okay, so let's very quickly talk about Kay. It's talking about how she's gonna seduce Miguel after the engagement party. Then she overhears Miguel talking to Luis and Pilar, telling them that he wants to get married to Charity, and they're trying to talk him out of it. And he's telling them how much he loves Charity. He knows that they're right for each other. There's no one else he could ever love, yada, yada, yada. Luis says, well, what about Kay? And Miguel says, what about Kay?
That's rough, man.
No, he says, what about Kay? And Luis says, well, I always thought the two of you would maybe be together. And Miguel says, yeah, one time I thought so too, you know, but Charity came to town and everything changed. And I have never felt this way about anyone ever. And Luis is like, well, that's enough for me. He's like, good on you, little brother. You know,
that's all he needed, apparently.
Yeah. And he was okay with the fact that Sam said that they could get married once they turn 18, because that was also Luis's kind of like, maybe you should wait till you're at least 18. So whatever. So Kay overhears this and is crushed, but not for long, because then she says, you heard the first part of that, because Simone's there with her. It's like, but you heard him say that he would be with me. He's told me so himself. He's told me he loves me. I just need to separate him from Charity. Yeah. So, and he just doesn't know yet. He just doesn't know. So once he gets a little taste of this pussy, that's what she thinks. Oh, bless her little heart. These girls.
Well, I can't be mad at her, because, like, she's not delusional. Like you said, he has stated that he loved her, and he probably still does. Charity's just in the way.
Yeah. So then Miguel goes to pick up Charity, and she just like follows her and leaves Simone by herself at Miguel's house, follows him to pick up Charity. And Charity has a premonition, and she tells them about her premonition, where she sees herself in a veil and a wedding gown, but she can't see the groom. And she's very concerned, because why can't she see the groom? Why can't she see who the groom is? And Miguel says, that's silly. Of course, the groom is me. But I think there's more to that than
is it you, Miguel?
Is it you? She's standing there all alone. There's nobody there. So, but she's smiling too. So that's interesting. We'll see what that's about.
See where that goes.
What did you want to talk about, Reese?
No, I don't want to talk about Reese. No one wants to talk about Reese.
Well, I'm gonna talk about Reese real quick. Nerd boy shows up at Tabitha's house and is snooping around for evidence that she's a witch. So you know what Tabitha does? Tabitha takes some of his hair, creates a voodoo doll, stabs him in the throat.
I forgot about that.
Stabs him in the throat. Loved it. I loved it. Great.
Just love seeing him in pain.
10 out of 10. Would recommend. So good. Loved it. So funny. She did that because she didn't want him going to the party. Yeah,
because, you know, he's on to her.
Yeah, she didn't want him going to the
party.
One
of the few people.
What did you want to talk about before we finish up? We're done.
Okay, so there was this little part where I think Kay and Simone were still like in the same room or whatever, and she had a package show up that was like some little like skimpy clothes or whatever, and she was like, yes, I'm gonna use this to seduce Miguel or whatever. So okay, My thing, right, is that this whole plan, while I can be like, you know what? Okay, Kay, you have a point. Miguel does like you. But this whole thing is like getting someone pregnant and loving someone are two completely different things.
Yeah.
I feel like Miguel is a stand-up guy, so he's not going to just leave you or whatever, like, right, if he has your baby. But that's not going to automatically make him love you. In fact, that might have the opposite effect.
Yeah.
The baby might ruin what little relationship y'all even had.
Yeah.
But you know what? Kay doesn't see that.
Preach, preacher. Oh, yes.
I'm just saying.
Yes.
Baby don't mean love.
A baby don't mean love. Okay. Well, that's it, right?
Yeah.
I think so.
We got everything.
We got it all in. Now, actually, I think we went a little longer than I honestly thought we were going to talk for like 45 minutes
and be done.
And honestly, we still like cut out a lot because we ranted a lot.
Yeah,
we did ramble a lot. So,
because people be making us mad.
All right. So remember, you can always catch me on all the social medias, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter. Just search Passions Podcast. Check out the website, passionspodcast.com. Go to the Patreon, patreon.com/passionspodcast. Give me a tip. Give us a tip.
Yes,
please. I would love a tip. Something, please. I feel bad for begging, but it would help. So Naya, where can people find you if they want to find your artwork?
Well, you can find me on Instagram or Twitter under the handle KokeBii, KOKEBII _, or on Twitter, KOKEBEES. So, yeah, if you want to find my art, commission me, you know, give me a tip.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. And with that, you are my passion for life.